your seats. So good morning and welcome to El Sereno Rec Center. It's nice to be on this side of town. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Today is November 16th. Can we please hold it down in the back? The meeting is starting. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a lively group this morning. So again, welcome to El Sereno Park. This is the meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioner. Today is November 16th, 2023. This board meeting is being conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only. And each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. I want to thank the El Sereno Recreation and Parks staff for hosting us this morning. What a beautiful facility and certainly a neighborhood facility. So thank you for all that you do for this neighborhood and for the city and for the Recreation and Parks Department. Takesha, can you call the roll, please?
Will do, Madam President. President Cimarron?
Here.
Vice President Sanchez? Commissioner Lloyd?
Here.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Thank you. Our first order of business is approval of the minutes from November 2nd, 2023. May I have a motion?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Seconded.
Takesha, can you call the vote?
Yes, President Cimarron. We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes of November 2nd, 2023. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Next order of business is the general manager's update. Kimmy?
Good morning, Board President Cimarron, commissioners, staff, and members of the public. Jimmy Kim, general manager. Before we begin, I would like to bring up Kimberly Simone, principal recreation supervisor of the Metro Region, to give a little background on the facility that we are at today, as well as recognition of staff.
Good morning, commissioners and our members that are here today in the city public. The history of El Sereno Recreation Center. The Cub House was constructed in 1949 for $68,224 as a part of the El Sereno Recreation Center. The pool was open in 1930 to 1940. No record of the history of when this was recorded due to World War II. In the 1990s, El Sereno Recreation Center, under the rehabilitation, which resulted in the demolition of the outdoor pool and the clubhouse. El Sereno Recreation Center was reopened in 1999 and named after Councilman Richard Alatorre. The historic building documentation report was prepared in June 2014 by Rincon Consultants on behalf of the City of Los Angeles Department of Recreation and Parks. Closest parks associated with El Sereno are Arroyo Seco, Ascot Hills, and Guardia Park. At El Sereno Recreation Center, you now know that we have an auditorium gymnasium, indoor heated pool, a skate park, two lighted baseball diamonds, two playground areas, barbecue pits, tennis courts, outdoor basketball courts, picnic tables, walkways, paths, multi-purpose field. Also, El Sereno offers an after-school club, cultural classes, music classes, piano, guitar, yoga, gymnastics, boot camp, and play LA sports. We also have a wonderful senior citizen center, and I'd like to recognize our staff today. Recreation Director Jose Maciel. Brianna Casares is a recreation coordinator. We also have the Recreation Facility Director, Jose Luis Gonzalez. Our Maintenance Senior Gardener is Isaac Montoya. Our Gardener Caretaker, Donald Henson. Our SPA, Estela Arias. Thank you and enjoy the rest of your meeting.
Thank you, Kimberly, and thank you for the staff for hosting us here at El Sereno Recreation Center. I would like to go ahead and begin with the general manager's update for emergency management. The emergency management division is currently supporting winter shelter operations due to the inclement weather that we've been experiencing. It is expected that we'll be supporting this operation until Monday afternoon, at which time we expect to go back to normal operations. Just a couple of items. I just wanted to mention that special events and programming information can be found at laparks.org. But I did want to highlight that today kicks off the, if my sound staff, there's a little bit of an echo. Can you guys lower my mic just a tad bit? Thank you. I did want to mention that today kicks off the holiday events in our department with the holiday ice rink opening at Pershing Square and tree lighting. So we hope that the listening public joins us today for that activation. More information on that event, again, can be found on laparks.org. I would like to now go into my general updates. Just a quick high-level update on Hollenbeck Lake and Rec Center and some of the items that we're dealing with there. Staff continues to meet with the community members on a regular basis and address concerns that are brought to the attention of our department. We will be coming back in the end of the month or early January on additional improvements planned for that area, which includes planting of additional trees, refurbishment of the Gateway Monument, and other minor modifications to wrap infrastructure. So that report should be coming in sometime early January or late December, in addition to the report that'll be on our agenda today. So I just wanted to give a quick update on that. WRAP staff will also be reporting back at the next meeting on the playground project prioritization information that was requested by the commission, and we should have that report ready for you at the next meeting. I also wanted to notify the commission that we have received various communications from the public, and those communications that have been referred to me has been communicated to appropriate staff to address and follow up on. Next, what I would like to do is bring up Megan Lorera to provide an informational report on the park fee annual report for fiscal year 2022 to 2023. Megan Lorera.
Good morning, Commissioners. Megan Lorera, Planning, Maintenance, and Construction Branch. Today, I'll be presenting the park fee annual report for fiscal year 2022 to 2023, which covers the period of July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. Per Los Angeles Municipal Code Section 1233(i)(2) and the State Mitigation Fee Act, WRAP is required to prepare an annual report that provides specific information regarding the park fee program and present said report within 180 days of the end of the fiscal year. The annual report before you today reports on the following information for Quimby, zone change, subdivision, and non-subdivision park fees. A brief description of the type of fee in the account, the amount of the fee, the account balance at the beginning and end of the fiscal year, the amount of fees collected and interest earned, an identification of each expenditure from the account, including a brief description of the expenditure and the percentage of the total cost of the expenditure funded by the fees, an approximate date when construction is anticipated to begin, a description of any interfund transfer or loan made from the account, the amount of any refunds made from the accounts, and all the projects to which funds were committed during the fiscal year. During fiscal year 2022 to 2023, WRAP collected approximately $69.5 million in park fees. Last fiscal year, WRAP committed approximately $78 million in Quimby zone change and park fees to various capital improvement projects. As of June 30th, 2023, across the five accounts noted in the annual report, there is an ending balance of approximately $280 million, of which approximately $126 million is uncommitted to projects. I'd like to thank my staff, David Lee and Robert Eastland, and the Grants Accounting Staff Report or staff for their assistance in preparation of this report. This concludes my report.
Megan, thank you for that. Megan, did I hear you correctly that we have approximately 200 million, but there's 100 million that's not committed?
That is correct. Yes.
So how does the uncommitted get committed?
Through
What's that process?
the board. When we prepare board reports asking you to approve projects and commit funding, that is the process at which funds are committed to a project.
I knew that, but I'm asking, so we have a list, and I understand that they're by council district, but is there a list of projects? It's sort of a continuation of a question we've asked before, is that we have Quimby fees that haven't been allocated yet. We have a list of projects that need to be, do we have a list of projects that need funding that we are able to match those two together?
Staff does maintain a list of projects that have been requested from council offices, the community maintenance or recreation staff. And then we also prioritize, obviously, projects that are health and safety issues, which will obviously jump to the top of the list in prioritization.
Commissioner Kathy Santo Domingo, planning, maintenance and construction, if I could jump into that. You know, it's always been the priority from the department's perspective, the health and safety. And there are ongoing evaluations and reports that we've started. We've presented to the task force a report relating to synthetic fields. So that's one that you'll see a wave coming to the board in terms of allocating funds for those safety items, replacements of synthetic fields. Typically, those are fields that have a 8 to 10 year life. So those we started evaluating about a year ago. So we do have a list of about 15 that have immediate needs, and we're cross-referencing that with available Quimby. The next available is basically a subject that you had brought up to us, which is basically the playground equipment. So we're in the process of that. We have prioritized, you know, the top 20 that are in need of replacement that could possibly have Quimby available. So to answer your question, it's really looking at safety or immediate safety concerns. It's looking at code-related upgrades that we need to address. And then the third category would be, you know, requests that we receive through our recreation staff and from the community. So we narrow it down to the safety items first. So we will be coming to the board in the next few months with recommendations on those.
Thank you for that, Kathy. Just to clarify, per the municipal code, that we have to give an update in terms of where we are in terms of Quimby fees, what we have allocated, what we have expended to meet that requirement of the charter. So that is a rolling number. So that $200 million is a rolling number. It's not that we have to expend those dollars every year, correct?
No, the only requirement is we're required to commit the funds that, within 5 years of when they're received.
Got it. So if we're having in previous commission meetings, we're talking about the lack of funding that we have for capital. We have a need for funding, and we have a lot of projects throughout the city at various facilities that are in desperate need of upgrades, resources, things of that nature. So I'm trying to understand, if we have $100 million in Quimby, and I get the three-level priority, is that if we've got projects in need, why don't we allocate those so that there is a match to the Quimby fee, so that we can at least move some of the needs within the communities, you know, off of the list with the resources that we have? Because $100 million is not an insignificant number.
Correct. We are in the process of doing that. So with the 15 synthetic fields that have been identified, staff is in the process of getting bids for those projects. So once we have those numbers, we will be coming before the board. We've already provided that information to the facilities task force.
Discussed it at the previous task force. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And we had questions about how we were going to prioritize those. We can't fund all of them.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
The one thing that I will add, though, is although we have, you know, quite a bit of Quimby in certain areas, there are other areas within the city that doesn't have access to this particular list of Quimby because of the radius requirements. So those are challenges, and we're working with our grants group to see if there are grant opportunities to address, you know, those other parts that you have in needs.
Yeah, certainly understand that. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan. My plan was to bring up CD4 Representative Mehmet Becker up, but unfortunately he went to the Friendship Auditorium, so he's on his way here. So when he does get here, I'll ask if we could interrupt so you could give a report back on the Riverside ABH operations there at the request of the commission. So I did, I wanted to conclude by giving a quick report out on an incident that occurred on October 28th. Aquatic staff that's here today responded to a patron in distress with the eventual assessment of no pulse and no breathing, a life-threatening condition. The action taken by the staff, not only in recognizing the emergency, but the steps that they took to provide life-saving care exemplifies the tradition of the service provided by LA City Lifeguards. I just wanted to, as a general manager and being a previous lifeguard, to thank and thank you for your service and the action that you provided. I'm very much proud of the actions you guys have taken. But I wanted to bring up the superintendent, Tracy Goldberg, to provide additional details and present the staff that responded to this emergency. So, Tracy Goldberg.
I'm excited too. Good morning, commissioners, staff, and the public. Here are some of our staff here. I'm going to read you the story of what happened, and then I'll tell you which one is which in part of this story. Unfortunately, two of the people involved in the rescue were not able to be here, although they really wanted to be. But we will still present them, and they'll get a commendation later, and it'll go in their files as well. So on Sunday, October 28th at 3:59 p.m. at Glassell Pool, a female patron fell while showering in the locker room. The locker room attendant, Bonnie Lee, immediately responded to assist the patron and notified the pool manager. After the patron got up, refusing assistance and declaring she was okay, she fell a second time. The pool manager, Moises Garcia, right here, and lifeguard Atan Gadika entered the locker room and immediately tended to the patron. The pool manager, Ileana Fernandez, called 911 as the pool manager and lifeguard assessed her vital signs. She was not breathing and she had no pulse. Staff began CPR immediately, powered up the AED machine, and placed the pads on the patron. After two rounds of CPR, one shock was delivered. One additional round of CPR was given, and the patron amazingly regained consciousness. She was monitored closely until LAFD arrived and transported her to a nearby hospital. Due to the attentiveness and quick action of the staff at Glassell Pool, she survived this very serious medical incident. We commend you today, Bonnie Leung and Moises Garcia, for your bravery and quick action in saving her life. Up here also is Mario Rodriguez, their immediate supervisor, our aquatic facility manager too at Glassell. So please help me in honoring them and thanking them for their service. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Jimmy. I think it's important to remember that our recreation and park staff are first responders as well, and that's just a testament to the extraordinary leadership of the department and certainly the extraordinary dedication that our staff has to safety first. So thank you very much for recognizing them. Thank you for all you guys do.
Thank you, ma'am. And that concludes my report.
Can I say something real quick? I also like to proudly say that
My son plays flag football here, and my daughter does piano lessons across the street. So this has been a beacon in our community. Thank you.
It's a beautiful facility. Thank you for that, Commissioner. With that, we'll move on to general public comment. Keisha, will you conduct public comment, please? I'm going to talk slow until Takesha gets there. Thank you.
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. So I'm going to call up the first three. Benjamin Hamlin, Sherelle Caneo, and Rebecca Beach.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. Benjamin Hanlon of Latham & Watkins. Thank you so much for hosting us today in this wonderful facility. I have three children who also very much enjoy the parks up in the Palisades, and that's a wonderful facility too. Nice to visit others. 2 weeks ago, my colleague Cindy Sterrett spoke to you about our concerns regarding a recommended condition to require our client's infill residential project in Koreatown that will provide affordable housing to dedicate land to satisfy the park ordinance. We had a further meeting with staff last week, and our concerns regarding our client's ability to meet this condition in an efficient and timely manner are heightened. We've detailed them in a letter that was provided to you yesterday, and I provided hard copies to you today as well. Our client supports parks. This city also needs housing. The mayor's Executive Directive 7, issued last week, directs this department to work with the planning department to eliminate barriers to housing development, requiring the 3100 Wilshire project to identify, vet, and then have the city review and accept land for parks is a barrier to new housing. Requiring dedication of land will delay this housing project. We ask that you direct staff to advise the Deputy Advisory Agency that there is no objection to a map condition requiring dedication or the payment of fees. The fees for this project total over $4 million, which would have a meaningful impact on this city's ability to provide and expand park services. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Cheryl Cuneo from Los Feliz. At the last meeting, a representative from In Defense of Animals cited the number of calls and signatures collected in the past to shut down the pony rides. There are screenshots put out on the Facebook pages of the Chicago Alliance for Animals and the Dallas-Fort Worth Animal Rights. I think they're defunct now. Starting in September of 2021 with a verbatim letter to Nithya Raman's office for their followers to send and information on emailing various other council members. This speaks to a concerted effort to shut down the pony rides and explains the number. Now, this kind of thing is legitimate activism, except for two things. I'm pretty sure that right now PlaceWorks is just looking for local input. And two, the folks who saw those calls and signed those petitions and made those emails only got one side of the argument. Honestly, if all I saw was their information, I probably would have agreed. But I live here. I went down to the pony rides. I saw videos of the protesters in action. I read Dr. Sacker's report and all the information leading up to the lease being canceled. I was at the pony rides the last two weekends. So I came to a different and I feel more informed decision. The ponies absolutely deserve the best quality care, but the kids of LA deserve access to ponies and live animals. It is possible to do both. Thank you. Where do I get this stuff?
You can give it to me. Thank you.
My name is Rebecca Beach. I'm a 25-year resident of Los Feliz, and I'm non-equestrian. I've had a chance since the last meeting to reflect on the way the rides were shut down, and especially on the rhetoric of anti-pony animal activists. I first became aware of the campaign to shut down the pony rides in late summer on the Nextdoor app for my neighborhood. There were charges of abuse and cruelty, and I did not think they were true or accurate and did not take them seriously as a longtime resident and active user of the pony rides. Fast forward to the fall when, to my dismay and shock, the rides were shut down. I first attended a RAP meeting in December of 2022 via Zoom and have been actively involved in attending meetings ever since. I've listened to the claims of activists and taken notes for 11 months. Among the statements, which I have heard with my own ears, there is no humane way to have live animals. Any use of an animal is abuse of an animal. If these statements are true, I ask with sincerity what the RAP Commission thinks about the following activities which are occurring in their own backyard on public park land of Los Angeles. The recent petting zoo at the Autry, the LA Equestrian Center, rangers on horseback in Griffith Park, horseback riding in Griffith Park, the future equestrian events for the upcoming Olympics in LA, the LA Zoo, which has live animals and a petting zoo. I do not believe these animals are inhumanely treated. If you agree with me, please bring back the Griffith Park pony rides. There's no reason to not have them. And if you think I'm exaggerating regarding the LA Zoo, I have seen in writing on the Nextdoor app a call by animal activists to eventually shut down the LA Zoo to, quote, be consistent with their own rhetoric. Please bring back the pony rides and do not give in to animal extremists. Think about what the best thing would be for the children of Los Angeles. Thank you.
I'm going to bring up the next three. Joe Cornwell, Mark Mariscal, and Zora Fahim. You'll have 2 minutes to do so.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Cornwell of the Fort MacArthur Museum Association. I want to thank the commission for your time and letting us meet with your representatives on October 31st. I'm here as the acting chair of the Fort MacArthur Museum Association, and I hope our organization and the department can continue working together in partnership, share the rich history of the fort with the citizens of Los Angeles and the surrounding areas. Stephen Nelson, former museum director of 24 years, has retired and is currently enjoying his retirement in Florida. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Mariscal, I'm a retired employee of this department. I'm currently volunteering for the Fort MacArthur Museum, the association, just as what you heard from Joe. And so, you know, they've reached out to Mr. Kim, general manager, and the staff. And as he said, the staff's done a good job of helping move along. But the biggest challenge is the association going forward will not be able to, in a sense, be the same group as it was over the last 35 years. It just has to do with resources, funding. But the association owns 99% of the items, maybe even more, of everything that's in that museum. Some of it is loaned to the museum. Some of it is owned by the museum. Most of it is owned by the museum. And so the association is trying to work now with the department to be able to get in there, secure some of the items of any further damage. You know, there's original photos from World War II, World War I. There's a Medal of Honors. There are all kinds of things in there. And so we're going to be working. Mr. Kim generously agreed to go down and walk through it as he's not had an opportunity to go inside. So this is at Angels Gate Cultural Center. It's Fort MacArthur Military Museum. This property was turned over to the department in the early 70s through a federal program. And the association, even before they incorporated in 89, you know, had been there in spirit and doing a lot of work. And so going forward, though, I think the idea is to figure out what collection can stay at the museum, what collection needs to be sold off and or given to other museums throughout the country. And so that's one of the things the association needs to be doing over the next few months. It's going to work on it. The department's working on a right of entry. I think some of that could be moved up and sped up a little bit. But we're just thankful that the staff of Rec and Parks recognizes that good work that the association's done. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Zora Fahim, president of Los Angeles Alliance for Animals. I'm also district leader volunteer for Humane Society of the United States for the past 9 years, where I have lobbied animal welfare policies at the local, state, and federal level. HSUS has more than 10 million members worldwide. My background in animal welfare policy is extensive. I've been one of the top volunteers out of almost 500 due to influencing one of the country's largest hospitals to engage in the Meatless Monday program. When I joined their Healthy Food Council, we pushed for the entire hospital to go 60% plant-based. We had doctors, hospitals throughout the nation calling us, asking how we are meeting these markers and for our help. I then convinced all the mayors and surrounding districts and Assemblymember Mainshine, who I interned for in Sacramento, Senator Tony Atkins, and several other assembly members to urge their constituents to go meet free on Mondays in conjunction with the Unified School District. I helped with the passage of Prop 12 and gained the endorsement of the entire Encinitas City Council right before we all gained Governor Gavin Newsom's endorsement. I've flown to DC to provide testimony to Senator Kamala Harris and Senator Feinstein, urging them to ensure that women and men can be provided shelter and housing assistance for companion animals of domestic violence victims. I've flown to Sacramento to provide testimony for AB 96, which closes a loophole that provides effective enforcement of existing California law prohibiting the sale of ivory, reducing the slaughter of elephants in Africa, authored by Senator Tony Atkins. Throughout my experience and based on comparable cities, animal policy trends in Sacramento and DC, elected officials up and down the state, I have never heard or seen a city present an animal model as I am witnessing the city of LA do right now. We have actually seen decision makers fight against it. Therefore, I urge you to please follow in the footsteps of the Santa Monica City Council that shut down the pony rides and replaced it with the non-animal model for the health, safety, and well-being of children and animals in our community. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to bring the next three up. Mary Fletcher, Sabrina Silver, and Gina Cruz. Fisker.
Oh, good morning, commissioners. My name's Mary Fisher. I live in the community of Echo Park. In fact, I live right across the street from Echo Park Lake. And I'm here on behalf of myself, as well as other community members who share these thoughts and concerns about the intention of our council member in CD 13 to bring street vendors into Echo Park Lake, which, as you know, was cleared and restored 2 years ago to the tune of $600,000 by the city. It's clear and clean now, but our councilman wants to bring in the street vendors that are now on the perimeter of the park, which works well. We don't oppose street vendors, but they're all around the park, which is fine. And when they leave, there are no regulations for them to bring or clear up trash. So the sanitation department comes the following days and cleans up the curbs. But our councilman wants to bring the street vendors into the park. And we are saying, no, please don't do that. They're fine where they are. Bringing them into the park could create trash, bring animals and rats into the park. It also takes up the little space we have, green space that our community has, to have families have picnics there and be on the grass. So we're asking you, if you're not aware of this, if you could be, and to be involved in perhaps trying to stop this intention. The community hasn't been advised or brought into this. We would like not to have commercialization in the park, to leave it beautiful and peaceful as it is. And the second concern about the lake is the lake itself.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
No maintenance contract in place. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Sabrina Silver. I am the vice president of the Los Angeles Equine Advisory Committee. We put together some recommendations for PlaceWorks, the consultant. I want to address the pony rides philosophically, the difference between animal rights and animal welfare. The science of animal welfare has changed,
And in fact, new science says, yeah, animals have thoughts and feelings. And we can design an amazing experience for the children to benefit from, which takes extraordinarily good care of animals. There are five levels that need to be met: nutrition, environment, behavioral interactions, and also the pony's actual state of mind, and this can be evaluated and assessed. An amazing event and recreational opportunity can be made that will teach children empathy and compassion. Animal rights takes the position that philosophically, no animal should be owned, or people do not have the right to own animals and to profit from them in any way. People do not have the right to, like, seeing eye dogs, you know, guide dogs for the blind. Animal rights takes ponies away from children and prevents people from developing wonderful connections with them and caring about them. So actually, if you don't know about animals and don't care about animals, animals are just going to go extinct. And I don't want to see a world that doesn't have that wonderful interaction of early childhood interaction with animals, so that kids get to know and love them. And
thank you for your time. Thank you.
To take the best care of them possible. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Gina Cruz. I'm with the Los Angeles Equestrian Coalition. My child began riding at the Griffith Park Pony Ride 16 years ago, and now at 19 years old is an accomplished equestrian. And that love for horses started at the Griffith Park Pony Rides. My child also wants to be an equine vet. You know, again, it began at the Pony Rides. We are fortunate enough to have our own ranch now with our own horses, but most families in Los Angeles do not have that opportunity. They can't afford that. So one of the only opportunities for young children in Los Angeles to interact with live ponies at an affordable price was the Griffith Park Pony Rides. And now that is gone. A majority of these children are children of color as well, and that opportunity has been taken away from them. The ponies were not abused. They were not neglected. I visited the pony rides unannounced numerous times. The ponies were well cared for, as was stated in the independent vet's report. If there is a concern, we can set a higher standard and provide a gold standard level of care for the ponies to make sure that they are well cared for, and this important interaction for children, especially for low-income children, can still be provided in this city. I also want to just bring up quickly, there was a recent report on KNX Radio that indicated that Rec and Parks was no longer considering live pony rides as an option. And I just want to make sure that it is clarified by this board and by Rec and Parks management that all options are being considered in the reimagining of the pony rides. And so we would like to ask that you please make a public statement that live ponies are still being considered for the pony rides. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three. S. Kayama, Colleen Stratton, and Nancy Atoya, I believe.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for hearing us today. My name is Sakai Koyama. I am a part of the Echo Park Park Advisory Board, Friends of Elysian Park, and Preserve Echo Park. I'm speaking on my own behalf. My comment is twofold. First, I want to say, please bring back the Griffith Park Pony Rides. Our children's childhood is fleeting. They deserve access, rich or poor. My second part is, I want to clarify that I am not anti-street vendor or their ability to make a living, but I want this commission to uphold the city park charter that prevents vending in parks. CD 13 has plans to do this. There's been months of planning, pre-selected vendors, and The patrons of this park deserve a commercial-free zone, a place to relax and recreate, a passive park except for permitted events like the wonderful Lotus Festival that I volunteered at and the upcoming Earth Day celebration. Since the fence came down, we have been dealing with an understaffed rat maintenance crew trying to keep up with trash and graffiti. Vendors will add to that load. Echo Park is world famous. The backdrop with City Hall, everybody knows it. We don't want another MacArthur Park, sadly. Currently, the quality of the water of the lake is also very bad. More funding needs to be allocated for the quality of the water. Currently, the water lettuce, they cannot keep up. There is a putrid smell coming from the south side. I believe that water is now toxic. So I would like this commission to allocate more funding, and the vendors are only going to add more trash and take up valuable green space for our patrons. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I am a Glendale resident, and I consider the Burbank Glendale Rancho Equestrian Community my home away from home, because I'm not fortunate enough to have my horse in my backyard. I've been boarding in that area for over 30 years. My life is an example of the importance of a pony ride. When I was 5 years old, my dad took me to a pony ride. This was in Orange County. And I fell in love with the ponies. And it ignited a passion for horses and for animals. And I began drawing horses. And as a result of that, I became a professional artist. And then I was able to, my parents were fortunate enough, they were middle class, but they were able to buy me a pony. And I've had a pony since I was a little kid. So I'm begging you to please reconsider and bring back the pony rides. There are a lot of, like this, I stand with this this past speaker who said that there are a lot of people, a lot of children in the area who don't have the resources to own horses or even meet them, but pony rides give them the opportunity, and it can be done in a way that is healthy, and you know, we can the equestrian community has developed a new guidelines and a new vision for the new pony rides. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Ochoa. I'm born and raised in Echo Park. Four generations of my family currently live there. And I can't even tell you how much the park means to us. It's the little bit of green space that we have to bring our kids. And I'm really concerned with regards to the potential introduction of street vendors in there. I also work as a janitor in all over SoCal, and we're in charge of the beautification, the improvement district, so we clean the streets. And I can firsthand tell you how detrimental it will be for our community to allow the street vendors inside the park. I have firsthand experience all the trash that's dumped all over our sidewalks, in the sewers, in the planters. I can tell you that it doesn't just affect the park itself, but it's going to affect the parking for the residents in the area. Some of the vendors sell alcohol. A lot of them don't have permits. And let me tell you something. My grandparents were street vendors. They sold keychains and pens because they were elderly and couldn't work anywhere else. So by no means am I against them. I just know that there's a lot of issues that come with that, a lot of negative externalities that are going to affect our neighborhood. And I think that that park has to be maintained clean, not just for the citizens that come and enjoy it, for the children that come and play, for the seniors that come and work out there, but for the ducks, for all the animals and the ecosystem in the park that's going to be jeopardized by mountains of trash. And unfortunately, we don't have any faith in CD 13, because when the park was cleaned out and the fence was taken down, they promised us that they would have a maintenance company come and keep it clear from encampments and trash. And till this date, they don't have anybody. And every time we reach out to them to ask about it, they keep referring us to Parks and Recs.
So we don't have any faith that they will keep the park clean, and we're very concerned because it's going to affect everybody else in the area. So I really urge you to reconsider
this.
Thank
you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring up the next three. Kathy Solano, Mary Goodchild, and Lisa Baca. Kathy Solano.
Everyone, thank you for the opportunity to let us weigh in today. I'm a very proud resident of El Sereno, and I can't say enough how much this rec center is the very center of our community. I'm joined today by some fellow parents, also from the community. And in addition to being someone who takes advantage of the facilities here all the time, I'm also the parent of two children that go to Farmdale Elementary. And I always tell my children they can do anything in the world that they dream of as long as it takes place in the El Sereno Recreation Center, because it really is the center of our lives. And I'm here today because I am concerned, and so many parents are very, very, very concerned about something that popped up in our parking lot just yesterday during the school day. You probably saw it when you came in. It's a new EV charger. And I understand the need for EV chargers. I was thrilled when I saw it because I drive an EV. But the minute I parked in it, I thought, oh my God, this is terrible. It's been put in the most dangerous possible spot for our kids. I personally can't speak for my other parents and other members of the community. I personally fully support having EV chargers around. They're hard to find. But I know as a driver that when I'm crossing town and I'm going on the app and I'm trying to figure out where to park, I just whip into any spot I can find. And this is a parking lot that is under the LA Rec and Parks jurisdiction, but it is also the parking lot of an elementary school, a pre-K through fifth grade elementary school with 350 children. The particular spot that it's in is so dangerous for our kids. I can't express it enough. It's the pathway that kids walk to when they're going into school. It's actually where we all have ice cream after school. It's right in that spot where we congregate during games and after games as families to, you know, cheer on kids in the field. So even though the person, whoever dropped it off, probably thought they were doing a great job.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. We all need to be consulted. And no one spoke to anyone at the school or here at the rec center. So thank you for your time.
Good morning, commissioners. I am concerned by the silence from RAP for the open and transparent process that's taking place on public comment. It has been tainted by the animal rights organizations. There's a recent social media photo that's circulating by Zora Fahim stating, and I quote, Zora Fahim is president and founder of the LA Alliance for Animals and rarely works with the Defense for Animals to help animals. She led a campaign with the Defense for Animals along with animal rights groups to successfully shut down the abusive Griffith Park pony rides. This is a lie. After the last commission meeting, KNX reporter Emily Valdez was here covering your meeting. She ran a news story that went from Thursday until Monday.
Signatures in alert
an IDA alert to the Department of Rec and Park to advocate for a non-animal model at Griffith Park.
The LA City Department of Parks and Rec is looking for alternatives, input from the community. What should go there? The ponies were there 74 years. Now they want something else that's going to bring a lot of kids and a lot of attention. I'm Emily Bell.
On Friday, October 27th, I forward to RAP commission and staff a copy of Nithya Raman's office post on Nextdoor that starts.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
We'd like for you to make a public comment clarifying this. This is all lies and you haven't said anything.
I'm going to bring up the next three. Pamela Marquez. Inger Eplins, thank you. And Val Marquez.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm really happy to see that you've resumed your in-person meeting and that you've selected El Sereno community for today's meeting. My name's Pamela Marquez and I am co-founder of Concerned Neighbors of El Sereno, who advocated for the creation of the El Sereno Arroyo Playground, which was built on vacant Caltrans property for which we managed to acquire a 25-year lease, an historic achievement in the history of Los Angeles. This playground has become the jewel of our community and is beloved by all who live, work, and play there. When the playground was built in 2012, a group of community volunteers came together and we formed the El Sereno Arroyo Playground Vecinos. We have become passionate stewards of the park and continue our work to this day to keep the park safe and beautiful for all our community members. And soon we will be expanding into the adjacent vacant Caltrans lots. To celebrate the park, the Vecinos hold an annual celebration that includes food, games, toys, and prizes, which are completely free for our community and is made possible through donations from local businesses who also love the park and with the support from our council office. I want to express again what a pleasure it is to host you in our community, which provides us the opportunity to thank you in person for the wonderful work that you do for our community and for the city of Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you.
So good morning, everyone. Thank you for letting me speak. And thank you, Jimmy Kim, for not renewing the Griffith Park and Pony Ride contract. Thank you so much. I'm a Los Angeles constituent. I live in Los Angeles for a very long time. I'm demanding a non-animal model for the safety of our community. You have been represented by way over 11,000 signatures urging for a non-animal model. Councilmember Rahman just released a statement mentioning that at the end of last year, following a motion, her office introduced to inspect the safety of the pony ride site and that the inspect and determined the ponies were not properly taken care of or cared for. When will the recreation and park disclose the whereabouts of the missing ponies? There are several. We must offer a park that is an example of a national model. We tell by LA City standards of humane animal welfare policies and consideration of child safety, which is only demonstrated with a non-animal model. We are unaware if their elderly ponies who were died at Griffith Park and pony rights were in fact retired. Because Stephen Weeks lied and misled the city over and over and over. It's a huge liability for the city of Los Angeles to have animals at their concession due to the transfer of illness and children being dragged at the park, which happened on several occasions at the former Griffith Park and Pony Rides. Recreation and parks have several dead animals on their watch. We will not accept any animal model, and we will never go away until that happens. Never. I urge you to move forward with a non-animal model, and like Santa Monica City did.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you for all the good things you do.
Good morning, commissioners.
My name is Valentin Marquez, and I am a founder of Concerned Neighbors of El Sereno and the El Sereno Arroyo Playground Vecinos, who are a group of community volunteers who are dedicated to keeping the playground safe, clean, and thriving. I am a community advocate who dream of and advocated for the park on a Caltrans land, which has been vacant for over 50 years. I knew the community deserved it, and I was willing to fight for it. It took seven years, but the El Sereno Arroyo Playground finally became a reality in December 2012, and recently celebrated its 10-year anniversary. We have since received other grants and will soon be expanding into adjacent vacant Caltrans lot. I would also like to extend a special note and gratitude to Javier Solis, Raul Leon, and their committed RAP staff, their support and responsiveness to the request have helped us maintain the park and as a jewel of our community. And I look forward to working closely with them on the expansion. It is my great pleasure to be able to introduce myself and a few vecinos sitting back here. We have, of course, 60,000 vecinos in El Sereno, so they all use it. It's a beautiful park, and I don't know if any of you have visited, but it's a jewel for us. Anyway, thank you for your attention and continued commitment to our community.
Thank you. I'm gonna have Ernie Barron come up. And then followed by Mahmood from Council District 4 after that speaker. Mehmet, sorry.
Good morning. I'm here. My name is Ernie Barron. I'm from the El Sereno Center across the street. I just want to tell you, it's very short. I come here to ask, to advocate that all seniors be returning to the senior clubs in their centers. Can you tell me why we can't return yet, please?
Ma'am, Jimmy Kim, General Manager, Rec and Parks. I'm assuming that you're talking about the clubs and the foundation, correct?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm assuming that you're talking about clubs and foundations.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Ma'am.
Because it's very important that the seniors socialize. We have a lot of our seniors who have passed on. Depression, loneliness. A lot of them have no family. A lot of them have no friends. Their friends are at the El Sereno Center. And it's very sad that we cannot go back and socialize the way we did before COVID.
I have staff here that will come address your concerns. My understanding was the center is open. So I have Jose Luis, he's the director at the center, and he could address your concerns. And then I'll also ask Deanne Detman, who is the superintendent that oversees our senior program, to address your concerns, and we'll follow up.
But our club cannot return.
I'm not aware about the agreement that's been made between the clubs and the federation, but again, I'll have staff come and talk to you about it.
And we used to go to our meetings. We would sell donuts.
Excuse me.
And
excuse
coffee.
Me. Excuse me, ma'am. Ma'am.
And we cannot.
Ma'am.
Do
excuse
that
me.
Anymore.
Excuse
Everything
me.
Has stopped.
Ma'am, can you just?
Why can we continue? I'm sorry.
Yes. If you could just see the recreation and park staff. This is public comment. So just to give public comment, he can take your